You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Won't you bow your heads with me for a moment? Eternal God, our Father, once more again I come and ask that you would allow your spirit to fall fresh on me. But not just me, Father God, for all those who are within the sound of my voice. We pray, and Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart have been and are acceptable to you. It's my prayer, Father God, that you would use me as a tool to help these and me, your children. We pray, Father God, that you would bless your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank and praise God today for his love, mercy, and grace. I want to, in my pastor's absence, I want to thank him for allowing me to stand here in his place this morning. And to all the ministers, deacons, saints, family, friends, guests, I greet you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And allow me just to say a little something extra here as I look out into the audience. And I know my pastor has been out for 3 or 4 weeks, and to see all of you here today is a blessing to you. I'm just grateful to God that you have come out to hear the word and still coming out to worship God, to all these great, and listening to all these great ministers that's on the podium. To all you ministers here and on the podium and audience, I just want to thank you so much for being support of our pastor. Amen. If you have your Bibles or your confirmation tool, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to read into your hearing, beginning at the first verse. And I will read down to and include the fourth. All right. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. I want to speak to you from the subject this morning, my other brothers. My other brothers. Several years ago, a Christian magazine published an article concerning television radio host Larry King. It reports that Larry King was on the Dave Letterman show. And David Letterman asked King, of all the people in history, who would you most like to interview? And without hesitation, King said, Jesus Christ. And later Letterman asked, well, what would you ask him? And as if he had been thinking about it, King said, I would ask him, were you really born of a virgin? The writer reports that suddenly things got mysteriously quiet. He writes, he says, it's kind of like a holy hush fell upon them. And David Letterman looked into the camera and said, we'll be right back. While both Larry King's parents are Orthodox Jews, he is reported to be an atheist. The Bible says that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. King David, writing of his other brothers, writes, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. February is Black History Month. It is during this time that I am reminded of some of the things the Apostle Paul wrote about his other brothers that I can easily apply to my other brothers. This month is a month of reflection. It is also a time when we reflect on our past history. But in this reflection, I'm reminded of what I call the rebellious 60s. A resistance that started in the 50s grew into what I call rebellion in the 60s. Now, before you get it twisted, I wanted to say that. Before you get it twisted, I got that from the young folk. You know. I just want you to know that I know all resistance, rebellion, and rebellious activity is not negative. And some very positive things have come about through resistance. Jesus resisted the status quo of religious society during his walk on earth and was put to death. After Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, early Christian followers were considered rebels and rebellious. It was in the 50s that a woman by the name of Rosa Parks resisted and stood up by not standing up. She refused to stand and give a man her seat. It was then that we as a people decided that we would no longer take a back seat. It was during the 60s and at the same time of rebellion that Dr. Martin Luther King had a dream. He had a dream that one day little black boys and little black girls would no longer be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Amen. And let us not forget that the Negro and colored people joined together with others to march on Washington. It was at this time of rebellion, that Negroes and colored people resisted being called by those tag names, and we became Afro-Americans and proud black people. It was also during this time that we, as colored black Negroes and African-Americans, realize on a wide scale that we had other brothers. We, outside the church, began to realize that we were related by race, absent of any knowledge of grace. We began to refer to one another as brothers and sisters, a term that was mostly used in churches and union halls. Our rebellion in the 60s brought about some positive social awareness and social change. Brothers and sisters, but I have a prayer this morning. I have a prayer for my other brothers and sisters and the content of their character. As I look around the church, I know that there is a black woman that wish her black husband was saved. I know that there's a young black lady here that wish she could find a young black Christian husband. But to them, all the good men are already married. And the other brothers, well, I ain't gonna say that. We'd be here all day if I go down that list. I also believe that there are some young black men, Christian men, looking and wishing they could find a black Christian wife. But for some reason, it seemed to them that all good girls like bad boys. I'm praying for my other brothers and sisters, those of my own race, my kindred of the flesh. You tell me. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Romans. I'm going to begin at the 11th, third chapter. I'm begin at the 11th verse. You tell me who this sounds like. The Apostle Paul is writing about his other brothers. I want you to know, I want you to tell me, is he talking about his other brothers or ours? There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues, they have used deceit and poison of asps upon their lips. What about this? Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace, they have not known. It sounds like to me that the Apostle Paul is talking about my other brothers. These are my kindred of the flesh. Our brothers and sisters are swift to shed blood. Our other brothers and sisters are killing each other on record numbers. Wonder what our black history will look like years from now. Brothers and sisters, I'm a factory worker, been in a factory for a long time, and I'm used to hearing people cuss. That's what we do. You hear it all the time, you can't help it. But I'm going to tell you that cursing and bitterness has reached an all-time low. It has reached an all-time low. Both my brothers and sisters. Oh, yeah, I hear them. Excuse me. Mr. Phil, excuse me. Preacher, excuse me. And sometimes I have to excuse myself. I have to move to another table. On the other side of the room. And they don't mean no disrespect. They intend on being respectful. But they have what I call the I can't help it. It reminds me of a passage of scripture that goes something similar to this. For the good which they have a mind to do, they do not. But the evil in which they have no mind to do, that they do. They can't help it. Even if they want to do good, they have no one to help them. They have no inside help. Paul the Apostle opens up the 8th chapter of Romans with these words. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. He closes that same chapter. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But it's in the chapter 9 that the Apostle Paul writes, I'm ready to be cut off from Christ for his other brothers, those of his own race. Paul the Apostle, knowing full well that there's no way that he could be cut off from Christ. But he says his heart is heavy. He's looking at his other brothers and says, I'm ready to be cut off from Christ. Romans 9:3, reading from the NIV version, says, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. I could wish that I would be separated from Christ, that they be joined to Christ. I could wish that I could suffer their punishment. The apostle knows that can't happen. Like Christ, the apostle Paul is ready to sacrifice his life for his other brother. But the real question,
yes, sir,
is what you willing to sacrifice for your other brothers, for our kindred, those of our own race?
Right.
Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to risk your reputation that another brother might be saved?
Come on. Yes,
sir. Are you willing to witness to the unsaved? Let me ask you this question. How many unsaved friends, associates, and or acquaintances do you have? Have they heard the gospel from you? In my opinion, and it's only opinion, one of the lies that the church is still holding on to, brought it in from the world, is birds of a feather flock together. While this may have been true when we were in the world, it can no longer apply to Christians. How can we witness? How can we witness? How can we be a witness? And if you're going to go there, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 12. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, when the church folk saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And Jesus heard that. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Brothers and sisters, our other brothers and sisters are sin sick, and they are in need of a Savior. They need Dr. Jesus. Paul goes on to write in the 10th chapter of Romans.
Yes, sir.
How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Many of us only know our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But what about our other brothers and sisters? Here in the 10th chapter, Apostle Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire. We could say that he's saying, brethren, I wish with all my heart. But if you notice, he did not stop with just desiring or wishing. Just wishing is not enough for the apostle. Maybe he realized that in order for his wish to leave his heart and become a reality, it must become a prayer. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Brothers and sisters, I have a heart desire and prayer to God. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Black America, African Americans, is that they might be saved. For we have a zeal, we have drama, we have a whole lot of nerve, but not towards God, and not according to knowledge. It seems that all people have gone about seeking their own righteousness. This seems true both inside our churches,
yes, sir,
and in the world. It seemed that we in the church care more about people looking like Christ,
come on, sir,
than about them being in Christ. I have a prayer. And the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Outside the church, our people cannot maintain a relationship in their homes, on their jobs, in the neighborhood, or even on the road. And the idea of having a relationship with God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is foolishness to them. The Bible says everywhere of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord, he ponders the heart. We have other brothers and sisters that are upright.
Yes, sir.
Morally, socially,
yes,
financially, and religiously responsible. And they think they are right. They too are seeking their own righteousness and have not submitted unto the righteousness of God.
Yes.
Being good count for something here on earth, but not before God.
Yes.
The Bible says that Christ is the end of righteousness, of the law of righteousness for everyone that believes. Brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is that we need insulation and not isolation.
That's right.
Our brothers and sisters need Christ, and we need, and they need to hear the gospel from us.
That's right.
We who are in Christ and have Christ in us ought to be ready,
yes, sir,
to tell our other brothers and sisters that if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We ought to befriend our other brothers and not care what other folks think about us sharing the gospel with them. I don't know what you see, but I know when God sees me, he sees me clothed in Christ's righteousness. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I have on my armor. I have on the armor of God. I'm ready to fight the good fight of faith. I'm ready to go to my other brothers with the gospel message. Talk about me much as you please. But while you talking about me, I'm going to be telling my other brothers and sisters about Jesus. I will tell them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him not perish but have everlasting life. I believe I'll tell them the story of how Jesus came down through 40 and two generations, born of a virgin, walked the earth for 33 years. I believe I'll tell him how he turned water into wine, gave sight to the blind, healed the sick, and raised the dead. But I won't stop there. I won't stop there. I'll tell them how they took Jesus and nailed him on the cross. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed dead for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. I believe I'll tell them that. I believe I'll tell them that he's coming, that he's alive, and he's coming back again. God bless you. I got to believe that the power of God is more powerful than what my other brothers think. I got to believe that the gospel has power. And I'm going to go out and share the word. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.